Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is James Banting. I'm with a company called Spark Geo. And we have a little bit of a problem in central British Columbia in Canada. We have a lot of Sasquatch roaming around the wilds there. So this talk will be about how we used open source geospatial tools, cloud native concepts to detect Sasquatch in the wilds of Canada. So what is Sasquatch? Well, some people might be familiar with the terms Bigfoot, Abominable Snowman, Yeti. These are all thought to be an early human variant called Human Sapiens Cognatus. They're usually characterized by being very large, very hairy, and they live out in the wild, out in the forests. Abominable Snowman and Yeti typically live in high mountain areas, and as a result, their fur is usually white. In British Columbia, we have a couple of high mountains, but they're usually kind of in the lower mountain areas, so their fur is usually light brown, a little easier to see against some snow. There have been a couple reported sightings and a few images captured like this, but you know, nothing really concrete can really prove that Sasquatch exists. So that was one of the things that we set out to do, was get some geospatial proof that Sasquatch are actually real. So as I mentioned, in early this year, in March, we had been hearing reports of Sasquatch in and around Prince George, British Columbia, some in Prince George. And that's where we're headquartered, or our headquarters are. So we thought, you know, we're a geospatial tech company. We have expertise in remote sensing and cloud native approaches and really building pipelines to do this sort of thing for not necessarily Sasquatches, but other objects. So let's try and help the community and find some Sasquatches. We settled on a hierarchical approach where we would get some medium resolution imagery and use that with the classification and typical remote sensing pre-processing stuff to try and inform us where we should buy some high resolution imagery to really look for Sasquatch. You know, once we get that high resolution imagery, we'd sprinkle some AI on it and out would come our Sasquatch. It seemed like a pretty logical approach. I discussed it with the team and everyone was on board, so we went ahead with the plan to detect individual Sasquatch from satellite imagery. So we started out by using a Stack API. This one is from Development Seed. We have our own implementation. There's a couple other companies who have their own implementation of a Stack API. And we used it to search for imagery that was relevant to us. So if you're not familiar with Stack or Spatiotemporal Asset Catalog, Matt Hansen is giving a talk on this on Friday morning. Well, he'll go a little bit more in depth on Stack. I'm just going to provide a kind of an overview. There's really three components to Stack. There's the metadata model, where we standardize ways to capture things like capture angle, cloud cover, ground sampling distance, different aspects of geospatial raster data, and we provide standard fields to access that data. There's two variants. There's a static catalog that is kind of a sidecar to the actual data. It can live beside the data, or it can be on its own. It's indexable and it's crawlable. And then there's the dynamic API, where you can search on arbitrary fields and play around with whatever. It's WFS compatible, so it rides along the WFS spec from OGC. It's really, really easy to start searching for geospatial data. As I mentioned, Matt Hansen's giving a talk on Friday, so go check that one out. But yeah, we use Stack API to search for satellite data, really in our area of interest and based on the features that we wanted to identify. So we're looking for free medium resolution, medium to high resolution imagery. Luckily, AWS provides this through their open data program. They have Stack catalogs for Sentinel-2 and Landsat 8. So Development Seed ingested it into their SAT API. I just used Postman to do a quick query on it. I have a polygon, GeoJSON polygon, of the collections that I want to search for. I want to look on both Landsat and Sentinel. My time parameter, so I'll, you know, these reports that we were hearing were at the beginning of this year, so I want to look in January to March or to April, and then some of those finer grained parameters that I want to look at, in this case cloud cover less than 40% or 0.4. So this really narrowed down our area, narrowed down our search parameters, and we were able to come out with five images, which is kind of cool. So the first one was a Landsat scene, and all the Landsat data on AWS is available as a COG, a cloud optimized geotiff. COGs permit pretty easy viewing. I don't have to download the entire image if I only want to look at a little area of it. And I can also grab the actual file location from stack. So up at the top there is the file location on S3. I can put it into something like COG.io map. It's a free service put up there from the COG working group. And I can view the COG right in my browser without actually having to download anything. It's perfect. If I find an area that I am interested in, through COG, I can do range requests and download the native resolution for that specific area rather than downloading the entire file. So it works really well when I don't have a really good internet connection when I'm hunting for Sasquatch physically. So Landsat was a good data set. It really helped me see what was around there. I needed a little bit higher spatial resolution, so I wasn't able to use Landsat for this, so I went with Sentinel. And fortunately, we had four Sentinel scenes to choose from. This one's we can get a little bit higher spatial resolution. So rather than the 30 meter that Landsat would provide, I can go down to the 15 meter from Sentinel too. So after I selected the scene that was most appropriate, I downloaded it, and I actually downloaded a digital elevation model at the same time. And I know from reading some literature, doing a pretty in-depth literature review, that Sasquatch like to live in the alpine region, so not really in the basin, not high in the mountain. So I used that to do a clip of the Sentinel-2 data, just so that I don't have as much data to send to my AI. It makes it a lot easier to process. I did a really rudimentary k-means, so I was just clustering, trying to identify sparse forest. Sasquatch like to look around there, do some hunting. There's rabbits floating around there, so they grab them there. It was very rudimentary. We had some problems with shadows with the k-means, but that's okay. I just needed to get a really smaller area so that I could buy some high-resolution imagery. So once I had the area of interest that I was really interested in, I went to GBDX. This is kind of the only part that's not really open source. I went to GBDX and downloaded some WorldView 2 imagery. I ran it through GBDX, or got it through GBDX, and did some pan sharpening it to get a little higher resolution from the pan band. So once I did that, I sprinkled my AI across it, and lo and behold, I was able to find Sasquatch, a whole herd of them, sitting out in the mountains. So it was concrete proof that Sasquatch were terrorizing the citizens of Prince George, British Columbia. Everyone was relieved. We were heroes. We had a parade. It was really, really good. After some cleanup on the image, and we kind of broke some laws of physics and did some quite extraordinary image enhancement, we were able to really see the Sasquatch and start identifying body parts. And we can get down a facial recognition layer. That might be a later task. We got to find some funding for that, but we'll see. The government was pretty interested in that. That was our project. We're heroes in Prince George, British Columbia. So obviously this project was fun, and we did it for April Fool's Day. Everyone on the team was on board with this, because we do this stuff for our jobs, but we wanted to have a little more fun with it. Now I can't speak for the rest of the team, but I don't think Sasquatch exists. Maybe the rest of the team does, but I'm not on board with that. And the goal of this project really was, besides being fun, was to highlight some of the cloud-native approaches that we can take to get imagery and to get remote sensing data and process it. So we want to show things like stack, and we want to show things like cogs, and to an extent, ARD, analysis-ready data, and we want to show how easy it is to manipulate remote sensing data without proprietary software. So that was fun, but there's also some broader implications of the work that that we put into this project. So besides stack, cog, and ARD, which are all valuable contributing factors to the project, we wanted to kind of play around with some synthetic training data for machine learning as well. So after we did this project, we're like, okay, this is cool. Can we take it a little bit further, and can we expand on it? And can we make it easier for machine learning tasks that don't necessarily have a lot of training data? Can we substitute that with some synthetic data? So this is how we faked creating it, and hopefully this informs you guys if you're interested in creating synthetic training data, something approach like this. So after looking through the stack API and doing the hierarchical classification and getting a base image, we grabbed some imagery from the internet, in this case a Sasquatch, and I think that's a rug underneath that we just put a Sasquatch image on top, the face on top. But if you want to identify things like, I'm going to use cars, the old easy example, a specific color of cars or something like that, you can get them off the internet, you can put them on your training sample and start using those to identify cars. There's a lot of data about cars, so it's probably not the best example, but if you're identifying some feature that there's only specific, a limited number of examples, this would be a good use case. So as I mentioned, we downloaded it from GBDX, we did pan sharpening to enhance the resolution, clipped out our area, and we have a data set that's ready to go. If we're doing this for training data, obviously we like different geographic regions, we'd like different environments, different illumination angles, just try to get as much variety as possible. So some of the tools that we used X-Array to kind of abstract the geospatial components so that it was easy to work with. X-Array is great for high dimensional data. So if you have a lot of, say, climate data and it's time stamped, it's really easy through X-Ray to identify and pull out specific time periods. It was probably overkill for this project, but it was good to use it. We also used HoloView. All this was done within a Jupyter notebook. HoloView is great for visualizing your data really quickly. It allows some interactive tools, so you can zoom in, you can start playing around and clicking, all within the notebook. And then obviously RasterIO through X-Ray to bring in the geospatial component. So one of the first things that we had to do was resample the image of Sasquatch. The pixel resolution didn't match that of the Sentinel-2 or the WorldView 2 data. So we had to resample that, and we'll lose some of the resolution on there, but that's okay. Our subsequent AI cleaned that up and identified the body parts for us. But once we have the same spatial resolution, we can start to overlay those images and kind of do a mosaic. We're just burning that image on top of the WorldView 2. If you're doing a full mosaic, you'd want to do things like histogram matching and do some feathering and transition zones if it's going to be a visual product. If it's analytic, you obviously don't want to change the data too much. So as I mentioned, we did it in a Jupyter notebook. We grabbed the Sasquatch image, we scaled them down, made them to the same resolution. We darkened them a little bit to kind of simulate shadows. We rotated them so that we could have a herd of Sasquatch lying around in a specific area. And we put them on the same coordinate system as the WorldView 2 image so that they'll align properly. If you're using this for training data, you can use a Cartesian coordinate system and then just define, if you're doing 256 by 256 chips, then you can place it wherever within those chips. Before you send it to your training system. If you're doing that, you'd probably want to save the geographic information outside into a sidecar file and then load it in after you've created synthetic data. Is it
next one.
Yeah, so, and finally, we put the Sasquatch images in the WorldView 2. We added some detection boxes like you would find on an actual AI algorithm, and voila, we detected Sasquatch. So with these results, we can expand it to other interest areas too. You know, if we're building, as I mentioned, object detection stuff, we really need to understand how shadows are going to affect the image. You can run it through something like Blender or other game development engines and do some ray tracing and get, you know, some really, really nice, as close to real world as possible training data. This was just a fun little project, so we didn't go too far into that. But you have to consider things like tall buildings or trees and how are those going to affect the illumination conditions of your training data. If you're doing any spectral work on the data, then you have to take that in consideration too. So if you're throwing in an object like a car with a metal roof and the paint, what are the spectral profiles of that paint color or that metal, and how those are going to affect your training data? So you got to think about that as well. But luckily, it can all be handled through things like X-ray and the notebooks to do some initial processing. And as I mentioned, we can also do some really fun things like prove that the moon landing happened. So we just threw the lunar lander on a lunar reconnaissance orbiter image. I didn't have time to get the little green men, or else I would have put those on there as well. But hopefully this is not used for nefarious purposes and people don't start to think that we faked the moon landing. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the talk. Hope you learned a little bit about the cloud native stuff and you go research them some more. Again, there's lots of Stack talks this week, so please go check them out. There's a couple of COG talks. I hope you had fun along the way. Thank you.